It is Friday, December 8th, 2023, season 19, episode number 85. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And today we get to talk a little bit about Cowboys versus Eagles. We'll let you know what we think is going to happen this weekend. That game is a Sunday night tilt. Should be a very interesting game, hopefully a fun game, and hopefully Cowboys get a win. We'll see. Before we get going, though.
Did that New England game hit the over?
Oh, my God.
By barely?
Did you watch it?
No.
I didn't either. Like, I was like, I'm not watching this.
I was watching.
But I'm not watching.
Zappy wasn't half bad, but it was a Zeke game. Kudos to Zeke for being able to basically get that. He willed.
Sorry, Zeke. I couldn't watch it, bro. Yeah, no, that was the game I couldn't watch.
Over 150, roughly 150 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. Take that.
Helped seal the win for them. But also,
Ambar was screaming for him.
He saved a pick six, so Zappy throws the ball, and it would have been a pick six that probably would have won the game for Pittsburgh. And Zeke went from zero to 100.
I did
real
see that
quick,
highlight.
Gunned the guy down, knife through guys to gun the guy down at the sideline, and it ended up the next drive ended up being a turnover on down. So Patriots got the ball back. So Zeke was playing defense and offense last.
That's why his mom tweeted out he made a tackle at Florida at Ohio State.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She's like, this guy, he could tackle. What are you guys acting like? He can't tackle. Yeah. You know.
Still love you, Zeke.
She's such a football mom. Though.
Oh,
you
she
can
is.
Tell.
Football
she's a football
mom.
Yeah,
his sister runs track too, right?
Oh, they're a family full of athletes.
Yeah. No doubt. Mom was an athlete. Mom was a big-time track star, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where they kind of get – but so was Dad. Dad was an athlete as well. So, I mean, it's in the bloodline.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. But before we get going, we got to say happy birthday to our
very own.
Hey, G, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So it's this.
Don't worry about it.
It's 21, and we'll just repeat.
Okay.
It's just 21.
I was going to say 29 cube. So because we're like, this is the third.
You know the funny thing is that when I was a lot younger, I used to be. I would get so annoyed with women that wouldn't say their age. Right. I'm like, who cares? Like, you're so ridiculous.
And now
I've hit this. And I'm like, well, now I get it. It's just, you know.
That karma.
Man, all types of karma happening to me today. But man.
So Pollard and Micah together?
Brian, we're about scouting football teams, not scouting people's ages. But.
Well, I'm about to be 60 on Tuesday.
Hey, man, every year is a blessing. So I'm like, you can know exactly how many years
I've been
here. You
might do this show without me soon. You know, that's
oh, no, don't say that.
You got one coming up here too, Brian.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah.
Is that going to be 60?
60. One of my fun times of my memory, when I turned 50, Nick arranged Sean Lee.
Oh, wow.
To bring me into the 50 jersey on in a birthday cake.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was one of the cooler times. Sean Lee, I heard there's a birthday in here. And I'm like, oh, Sean Lee. I'm thinking, what did I say? What did I make mad? He's like, no, happy birthday. I'm like, oh, my God.
Luckily, it was a great player that wore 50 at the time.
Yeah,
right?
It was a great player.
No that worked question. Out.
No
worked
question. Out.
All right, but happy birthday, AG.
Thank you. Very happy to have you
on the show today. I didn't know if you'd show up. I figured you might be like, wake up and be like, I'm chilling today. I'm not coming in. So I was waiting for that phone call, but.
No. I was going to show up and come in here. Good. Now I have issues today. You know,
was that on the show you were talking about IT yesterday, or was that just off the show?
It was on the break.
It was on the break, and you just put it on the record.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure she said it on the air, so you might.
Oops.
You might just need to tell everybody why you're now in more trouble with IT.
Ben.
So people know what I'm talking about. IT tends to get under my skin sometimes with some of the updates.
We love you, Ben.
But they love doing updates, security updates, and this one in the middle of the season, they decided to do when it just screwed up my whole computer, and it messed. Is your workflow like things don't work properly? Your doc it's messed up, I was complaining about it yesterday during the break. And then today, and I remember I'm like, man, I have to change my password today, which was yesterday, my last day, and I forgot about it.
By the way, they give you a 2-week notice. They start every day counting down. You have 14 days. You have 13 days. You have 12 days.
Yeah.
Like they gave her a chance. They gave her every opportunity.
Me and Hellman used to gamble on this all the time. Like, how close can you get before it actually goes away?
Well, I'm locked. I'm locked out today, and I have to go find IT and see if they can unlock my account.
I'm just imagining the smile on Ben's face as you walk up. It's just ear to ear, like the Cheshire Cat. Just, you
need
love
us
me
now.
Mm.
But all right. Anyways, yes.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you. Let's go and jump in. Let's talk a little bit about some injuries. We got to get an update on Mike McCarthy. What do we know at this point?
Yeah, fantastic news. Mike is back in the building this morning.
Let's go.
And Jerry
Surgery
Jones.
2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago. Not even 48 hours ago.
Football people are crazy.
Less than 48 hours ago. Yeah. So he's back in the building, and Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan this morning that it will be, quote-unquote, business as usual when it comes to the coaching regimen for this Sunday. So, Mike, I'm assuming that means Mike will be on the sideline. Because business as usual is exactly that, business as usual. Kind of a funny thing that Dak said yesterday when I asked Dak about the potential of Mike being on the field or being available to coach, and he said, you know, he's a tough guy, and he's always saying he's a tough guy, so prove it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that. So all I'm right. sure Mike saw that and was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, Mike will be back in the building. We'll see if he's on the field, but it sounds like he'll be on the field less than 4 days after having an emergency appendectomy. As far as the injury report, with a lot of guys returning from a veteran rest day, it shrunk quite a bit. Veteran rest day for Zach Martin on yesterday. Tyron Smith is still on the plan, capital T, capital P. Matt Waletzko, whose 21-day practice window was activated on Wednesday, he was upgraded to full participant. And the usual, Rico Dowdle, still dealing with that ankle. He was limited. Peyton Hendershot, he's still on the injury report, but he's been activated to the 53-man roster, sending Sean McEwen with an ankle injury to IR. So, for the most part, outside of those who are on IR, Cowboys are really healthy going into this game. So, knock on wood, that stays the case after Friday's and Saturday's practice.
Have you guys gotten any indication as to whether what they did with Zach is going to be a normal thing? Obviously, right now, Tyron really isn't practicing on full practices, and it's worked. Like, it does seem as though he's a little more spry. Is it seem like maybe they're going down that track with Zach now this week, giving him that rest as well?
We have the opportunity on 105.3 The Fan to interview him every Thursday, and he talks about how hard it is to get back for these games, and especially with the number of games they played, the number of days. So I think they're being very mindful of his situation and, you know, his age. It sounds like, just talking to him, that he really appreciates, he likes to practice, but he also, you know, he also appreciates feeling better, because we asked him the question about that, and, you know, he's talking about the mini bye and how much it helped his body and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think the organization is being just really mindful about it. If they said go practice, he'd go practice, but he does appreciate them allowing him not to have to go out there and bang around a little bit.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken anymore, and I think everybody involved recognizes that. And now we're getting into the back end of the season where, you know, the wear and tear can really start to show itself. So it just makes sense that, you know, you would start to kind of ease back on his practice workload. But like Brian said, Zach, if whatever you need him to do as far as practice, he'll get out there and do it. But it's just wise by McCarthy and his staff to look at a guy as valuable as Zach Martin on an offensive line that has had more than its share of adversity this season with injury, and saying, hey, we need you for this push. If you don't practice one or two times a week, if it helps you be refreshed for Sunday or, you know, Monday, so be it. So I like it.
And it also comes at a time where now you can say everyone's on the same, like, in sync and on the same page as far as the O-line. I know there were a few weeks where we were discussing
that they needed to practice
together, and that wasn't happening. They have enough time to do that. I think they found their rhythm now, and it's okay for those guys to rest and then give reps to the other guys behind them.
Yeah. That just really just put El DeBarge in my head, so now it's going to be stuck for the rest of the day. Get the rhythm of the night, dancing to the morning light. I'm showing my age now, but yeah, thanks for that, because I love that song.
Like, you decided to sing it. Like, okay.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
Okay, yeah, hey.
I'll put myself out there now. You know.
I ain't mad at you. All right, Matt Waletzko, you mentioned him. What realistically can they expect from him? Is this really more about just getting him practice time, or is this something where they expect that maybe he can fill in and be a backup type player for this season?
Kind of feel like this is more geared to 2024.
Yeah.
I think this is like, you know, kind of figure out, let him have these next, you know, the 21 days, take the full amount about it and go about it that way, you know. But, and maybe they'll have an ability to put him on. Hopefully they won't have to use him in any way. But I think this is more about, he's missed a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so now it's trying to make up. I don't know how much you can make up in 21 days with the way that they practice, but at least he's out there doing something. And I think it's more about 2024, hopefully, for that.
I think it's that in addition to just it's insurance, right? So you never know what's going to happen with the injuries on the offensive line. So if you start his 21-day window now, it's allowing him to practice and get those reps in. So best case, you don't need him, and a guy like Austin Richards remains available. And then you let him revert to season ending and, hey, see you again in 2024. Right. But then another scenario is if you were, knock on wood, to lose a guy like Austin Richards for whatever case in late December, guess what? Willetsco has been practicing and he's ready to be activated. So it just makes sense on both notes.
All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk about the Cowboys versus the Eagles. I have a few questions for you guys, some matchup questions. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Experience the magic of the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at Christmas time, available through the holiday season on select dates only. Christmas Tours of the Star get you a VIP viewing of Ambar Garcia at the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza and holiday-themed guided tour of the Star. Festive takeaways include a limited ornament and a Santa hat. Space is limited. Book your visit at thestarinfrisco.com/tours today.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by blockchain.com.
Ding.
.com.
There we go.
.com.
There a lot going on there.
All right, let's jump in. Let's talk a little Cowboys versus Eagles. I don't know if you guys saw Nick Bosa was speaking to the media, and I thought it was really interesting. Of course, the Eagles are rooting for the Cowboys this weekend because they're thinking, hey, we need somebody else to put another loss on the Eagles.
49ers, yeah?
I'm sorry, 49ers. Yeah. Put another loss on the Eagles because you know, that'll put them in position to be the number one seed, which got me thinking, like, I don't know if I necessarily want them to be the number one
Seahawks
seed. Especially if the Cowboys are going to be the fifth seed. I don't necessarily want them at one. But that all beside the point. He made the comment that they put on tape the blueprint for how you handle Jalen Hurts. My question for you guys is, as you watch that game and have watched film, what do you think is that blueprint
We talked about it.
It's that four-man rush.
Keep him in the pocket.
Don't get out of lanes. That's the whole thing. You got to play with discipline. Buffalo did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's when you – it's when they're a good enough offensive line that when they – when you twist your front, when you move your front, they're good enough of taking your two guys and pinning them to one side.
Yep.
They're that type of they're powerful, they're athletic, and so what happens if you keep your rush and your integrity of the pocket and the way you rush? We talk about making him play backwards, make him play off his back foot, make him hold the ball, make him make the decision of nobody's open, I've got to throw it away. That's exactly what Buffalo did. That's exactly what the 49ers did. You know, they maintained their level of rush, and they didn't give him the gaps, the crevices, the space, anything. When he sees that, your defensive front all wadded up on one side of the field, he's going to run. That's just the way he plays. I mean, he doesn't want to run, but he'll do it in a way to hurt you to get to the next down. So that's exactly what Bosa was talking about.
And what's wild about it is the outrage from Eagles fans, and I don't understand it, because if you've watched your quarterback over the course of this season, we'll keep it to this season, then you know that that's something that opposing defenses continually try to do, is they try to keep him in the pocket, maintain the lanes, and keep him contained, yeah, and then force him to either make that throw,
right,
or stand there and get sacked by the interior pressure.
Right.
So seeing Nick Bosa say it, I think for Eagles fans, it was just more so, oh, well, it's a guy who just helped humiliate us on our own field, and now he's also rooting for the Cowboys to do the same. But truth be told, I said it yesterday, it's one thing to have the blueprint of another team, it's another thing to have the toolbox. Cowboys have the toolbox. Yeah. I love what Bosa said, because it's true. Hopefully, you know, while the Cowboys are handling business against the Eagles, in the hours prior, the Seahawks would have handled business against the 49ers to kind of wipe that smug look off his face. Because, I mean, thanks for cheering for the Cowboys, Bosa, yeah, this week, but go Seahawks, right? So, I mean, but nothing Bosa said is pulled out of thin air. It's something that teams have been trying to do to him, and they did it successfully.
What you worry about in this game is it's really easy to say to rush four and, mm-hmm, and play and try and contain. He is banged up. I think he's more healthy, if that's just the right way to say it. I think he's healthier this game than he was in week 9.
I agree.
With his injury. And so now it turns into like, okay, I'm just going to run. And I'm in pain. I'm going to run, and I'm going to get down, and I'm going to get out of bounds. But I'm going to make you have to defend me running. I don't think he wants to do all the read option stuff. I just think it's now either hand it off or throw the screen. I don't think he's interested in running the ball. But if you force him to run the ball, he will run the ball. But you got to be disciplined the way you play against him, because even as banged up as he might, everybody thinks he is, he's still capable of getting.
He'll spring one.
Yeah, 8, 10, yeah, 12, 15 one. Yards, and then get down or get out of bounds.
So here's one of the challenges I think that happens sometimes in football. You can look at a matchup like this, and I hear what you guys are saying of, you know, you kind of have to stay in your lanes and maybe avoid some of those,
yeah,
some of those twists and stunts. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, that's what they do. Like, they do a lot of twists and stunts. So
they don't rush four.
How do you?
I mean,
if you
look at the metrics, they don't rush four. This is something that they're not accustomed to. They blitz on second down and they rush more. They're a 5-6 man rush team.
No, I get that. I guess what I'm saying though is they also do a lot of twists,
right,
and a lot of stunts. And so where I'm wondering is, how much do you say for a particular matchup, let's get away from what we normally do?
Yeah.
In order to take advantage of the matchup versus this is what we normally do and it's what we're best at and we're going to stick with that even if that could expose us a bit.
Well, the thing about it is twists and stunts and games and all that go really well when you play the Giants, mm-hmm, or the Rams or somebody that has a bad offensive line. That's the problem when you play the Eagles, is that, you know, where Dallas is going to have to win this game, I think, is in the middle of their defense. I think they're going to have to find a way to affect. And Bosa was also talking about affecting eye level, which is every quarterback's nightmare. When you see the rush and your eyes, mm-hmm, go down and then you take it. And that's why Hurts holds the ball.
Yeah.
You know, he holds it. He sees the rush and it keeps coming and then he looks back up and then he tries to make a play. the twists, the games, and all that, you could get away when you have an offensive line that doesn't have athletic ability. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. These tackles, to me, running Micah against these offensive tackles is a wasted rep. That it just is.
Yeah.
It, you know, put him against, you know, Cam Jurgens, or put him against Kelsey. You know, put him against one of those guys that he could clearly win one-on-one. You know, with those other guys, Johnson will just run you wide. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll just push you wide. And Maialata on the other side is big enough that sometimes you could get him on the inside rush, but if you keep going wide on him, he's just a big body, and he's just going to force you wide, and you'll never get there. Okay. So to me, when the twist, the games, the front, all that stuff against inferior offensive linemen work. When you twist, like I said earlier, when you twist against this front, they'll pin you to one side. They're good enough to adjust back and just pin you down there, and now that whole left side of your defensive line is exposed, and there's the ability to kind of go out that door.
If you want to prove you're an elite defense, you have to be able to be versatile in what's required of you on a week-to-week basis. Go back to Week 5, and we talked about going into that game against the 49ers. What did the 49ers typically do as far as defensive secondaries go? It was primarily zone. And then they switched to man on demand, mm-hmm. and they were very effective in stopping the Cowboys and doing that. This is not a different situation entirely when you say, okay, well, yeah, you're better as a defensive front in Dallas with twists and stunts and gains and things like that, but be able to adapt to the opponent. This is an opponent that you would have a much easier time dealing with if you just say line up 1, 2, 3, 4 and go beat your man. Go beat your man straight up. We're not going to get fancy with this. And then for those times where you can't beat your man, make sure you get your hands up in the passing lanes. They try to bat down some of those quick outs, those quick slants and things like that. Disrupt the eye level, like Brian said, and this is definitely one of those games where don't get too fancy with a lot of that movement with the twists and the stunts. Just go line up nose to nose and just beat your man. And then if you lose that particular rep, make sure that you impact that rep by hands in the air. You know, go full J.J. Watt if you need to. Just try to disrupt the rep however you can.
I have a question before we go to break. We know we've seen some struggles in the secondary the last couple of weeks. If you were to evaluate the Cowboys' defense right now versus how they looked the first time they faced the Eagles earlier this season, how different are they?
The Eagles or the Cowboys?
Cowboys.
I think there was the questions that I had about the Cowboys defense the first time around. I was worried about the run defense at that mm-hmm. point in time. I was really worried about their ability to – I thought that Philadelphia would just load up and try and run the football on them. I think they're better equipped now. I've learned this about the Cowboys. It's usually not about them getting whipped up front with – how teams play against them. It's a lot of it has to do with self-inflicted, where they jump gaps, don't play scheme, don't fit. You know, I think they have a better understanding of where they need to be in the run game part of it. So I think that's something you could kind of count on. What I would worry about in this game is that we saw the Seahawks with some of those in-breaking routes, mm-hmm. and I mean the slants. And this is something that the Eagles like to do. They like to throw the slant. Can Bland, can Gilmore, can the safeties react? But you play so much single high there that it's kind of hard to take away slants with just one, unless you're shading to that one side. So I feel like the Cowboys defensively against the run could be fine in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The pass is what worries me, especially the quick stuff if they go to the slant game. And we've seen them give up some plays down the field with some of the vertical routes and stuff. I felt like that maybe the first time around we didn't see that as much, but now we're starting to kind of see that teams are, you know, you throw the slant. I mean, if you go back throughout the year with the Jets, did the Jets had a slant in what, week two that mm-hmm. went for a touchdown long one? We've seen them have some problems with those routes that break inside a little bit. And that would be my concern, my biggest concern if I were the Cowboys in this game coming up.
I think they've shown that they have it figured out in both run defense and pass defense. But when you come out of a game like you had against the Seahawks, and I've said this before, I said it on The Fan, I can't give enough roses to Geno Smith for being able to get the ball out just as quickly as he could. There was nothing you could really do about that. But The Cowboys need to, against the Eagles, they need to combine those two things. They need to combine the fact that they helped bottle up Jalen Hurts and that run defense outside of the, you know, the Gainwell touchdown that was more so a screen to the right. But they were able to show that they can bottle that, them up there, and they've been showing that they can bottle up receivers through the course of the season by not allowing a 100-yard receiver until the Seahawks. And there's other contextuals there as well, as 3 games in 11 days, and your third game happens to be against this core, that wide receiver core. That's a handful. So now they're more rested, coming off of a mini bye. It's the second, another chance for them. I don't see them having a bad day at the office in the passing game 2 games in a row, and both of those games are at home. I think they bounce back well. But as far as the totality is concerned, I think this is a better defense than the one that went up to Philadelphia. And it's definitely a more motivated one because there's more on the line now. And again, they do not want to be the reason that the Cowboys are fearful of losing this game late in the fourth quarter, not for a second consecutive week. The offense saved the game, saved the day last week. So you better believe Micah Tank and those guys, they're like, you're not going to put that on us this week. We're going to be out there and we're going to play some ball.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned Seattle, and I wonder if this whole concept of the blueprint goes both ways.
Yeah.
I wonder if Philadelphia looks at that game and they say, hey, if we can get our quick passing game going, Dallas might struggle with that, because for whatever reason, a lot of times those corners will back off and they'll give you that quick slant. They'll give you that quick in, that quick out. If you can get your quick passing game going, that could be a problem for Dallas.
Yeah, there were a couple of times, too, where I thought Dallas against Seattle got caught in some bad coverages, 3rd and 2, and they're playing off, and it's a 9-yard pass to Smith and Jigba on the out, and you're like going, man, that was way too easy for them. You know, they're fighting, you know, you're fighting to get off the field and you allow them to catch the ball for 9 yards.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit of being a little shy about, okay, if we play up on these guys, are we going to give up a bigger play?
Yeah.
You know, so.
And they were explosive.
This is a good receiver crew, and we'll see what happens with their tight end. You know, him coming back, and is he in game shape? Is he ready to go? There's so many problems that he presents on third down. And I think the Cowboys saw a little bit of that last time that they played.
Well, the beauty of it is, and as we have this conversation, we talk about, you know, where defenses are. I think the Eagles defense it was already not great. Run defense was in week 9. Secondary, not so much. I think the secondary is worse now entering week 14 than it was in week 9. And the Cowboys offense is better entering week 14 than it was in week 9. So, yeah, we're talking about, you know, how will Dallas Goedert impact the game, if he will? Will he have some rust that he needs to knock off, and these quick in routes, which is nothing that the Cowboys aren't accustomed to, because this is what the Eagles do anyway. So the Seahawks doing it, no big deal. But when you talk about the Cowboys and Lamb being moved all around, and Cooks now getting involved, and some of these other guys, Jake Ferguson really coming on strong, and the list goes on and on, Kevontae Turpin, there are a lot of stress points for this Eagles secondary that is one of the worst in the league. You know, the Eagles have more than their handful as well. So as long as the Cowboys offense is what it has been, they could get out to a fast start and they could use the scoreboard as the 12th defender.
All right, real quick, let's talk about these two questions I want you all to answer. Who's the most dangerous offensive player for Philadelphia, and who's the most dangerous defensive player for Philadelphia in this matchup?
I'm going to lean with Smith. I know everybody talks about Brown and what he can do, A.J. Brown, and he's just a physical beast out there. But Devonta Smith, to me, is the one. I feel like, though, when Hurts needs a play to convert, he is going to look for number 6. Mm-hmm. This kid has got great body control. He plays with balance. He's fast. He catches everything you throw at him. So I would worry about him. He's the guy that bothers me the most going into this one.
Offensively, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's, as we have this conversation, he's still in the top of the conversation for MVP. And if your game plan is effective against Hurts, and or you can get hands on him, or you can force him to throw where you want him to throw, how you want him to throw, you will negate Devontae Smith. You will negate A.J. Brown. You will negate Dallas Goedert. So for me, their passing game, it starts and it ends with what Jalen can do. And that also includes if you allow him to leak out the backside and stretch plays and extend drives, that's just going to make for a longer day. So for me, offensively, it's Jalen Hurts. Defensively, they have some dogs up front, but I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick.
It has to be.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick, he's just too good at what he does. He can go speed to power, and his speed is a real problem for opposing offensive tackles. So keep an eye on Hassan Reddick. If you can bottle him up or keep him kind of negated as much as you can, then you will have an opportunity, several opportunities for explosive plays. If not, Dak's going to have to use his legs more than he has been using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this game could very well come down to how well Terrence Steele plays and how well that they handle Reddick off that left side for them.
Yeah.
I still think that Terrence Steele has been improving.
He has.
And he's a guy that right now a lot of the senses that I'm getting from a lot of people is they still don't have full trust in him just yet. Mm-hmm. With dealing with that injury and the way he's coming back, even though he's been improving, he's still a guy that, you know, you mentioned it the other day. If you allow a pass rusher to get through you three times, that's a bad game.
Yeah,
So it's an area where it can definitely affect the game and affect how Dak Prescott plays. So one thing that is in their advantage for the Cowboys is the fact that Dak is playing so fast and he's getting rid of the ball so quickly, and he's been feeling a lot more comfortable using his legs, getting out of the pocket if needed, and running. So at least there is that positive side that you have a quarterback that right now feels a lot more comfortable with everything that he's doing. So hopefully that doesn't become a factor, but definitely a player to watch there and a matchup to watch. And I was going to go with Jalen Hurts too, just because, I mean, that's where it all starts. Right. And Jalen Hurts, even when he was injured that last time they played, he was still running. Like he used his legs a few plays, and it was positive for them. So he's still a weapon. He's healthier, quote unquote, than the last time they were. And it concerns me when you have a quarterback that can't run, because we've seen how much that can affect this Cowboys defense. So those would be my two guys as well.
Yeah, after seeing what DK Metcalf did last week, I got to think it's A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a clone, right? That's a clone that's and fair. Probably a better version of that clone.
That's fair.
And the things that we saw DK Metcalf do last week, I think A.J. Brown can do that and then some. And so I'm a little bit worried about that. Like all season, they hadn't really had receivers get them like that. And then you have now two games in the last, two games? Two in the last two.
Yeah.
Where you've had a receiver go over 100 yards. And so I'm a little bit concerned about A.J. Brown and what he can do.
Yeah.
He's been having one of those years, so it wouldn't be shocking if he does to the Cowboys what he's done to many, many other teams this season. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back. Got a few more questions for you guys. We'll get to our picks. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To the Break.
Okay, get the coverage you need for this football season with Dallas Cowboys cold weather gear. Visit the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and score knit hats, hoodies, jackets, and more.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star.
And use Derek's discount to get all that stuff.
Actually, they did just send us our discount.
There you go.
Link the other day. So there I'm like, yeah, there let's go do some Christmas shopping. Let's have some fun here. All right. Let's talk about, let's get some fan questions. I put it out there on Twitter today.
What?
I got a few back. Yeah, so we're gonna get to some of these questions.
We're doing this. Man of the people.
I'm a man of the people.
Man of the person.
Man of the people.
Man of the person. Whichever one.
Let's see if it'll be a person or if it'll be people.
Man of the most.
Kill my segment.
No, it's your birthday. I didn't want to have to put you to work on your birthday, so I was like, I'll take care of this today.
You
enjoy your day, but by next week, you'll be back.
Derek can be like, if it's birthday, if it's date night, if it's like he had one drink at a restaurant, he's like, you want to host tomorrow? You got this? I'm like.
Not one drink. She called you a lightweight.
Hey, man. Sometimes I feel like it. My body is like,
it could be anything
this,
that involves any type of activity. Derek is like, I'm not in the headspace.
I've never met a
you
lightweight
do it. Because Derek is very, he needs a whole breakdown of
those.
Everything.
They don't make those.
Hey, man. I'm just going to say, you get to 50. The body starts telling you different things. When I woke up, what was that, Sunday morning after the Texas game? Wow, that was a rough day. Yeah, that was a rough day. That was a rough day. All right, let's take a question. Brian Woodward. Question is, yes, sir.
No, it said Brian. I was like,
no.
Question.
Brian Woodward.
Yeah.
His question is the Cowboys' offensive line gelling at the right time? He says Dak is playing lights out, but the O-line holding up is what makes that possible in many cases. What do you think?
Not perfect quite yet, but absolutely coming together with their continuity and gelling at the right time. And we talked about it midseason when the question was posed, how many games does this front five need to have together in order to start really establishing that continuity? And I said four. Okay, well, we're past that marker now, and they got the plan down pat with Tyron Smith not practicing. Sprinkle some of that magic on Zach Martin as well. And now every single game these guys play together, every single rep is another opportunity for them to kind of come together chemistry-wise. So, yeah, they are, in fact, coming together at a perfect time because this stretch is about to be brutal for the Cowboys.
Big challenge at center. Biotis is playing better, and your right tackle is playing better. And that's made this line better overall. Yeah. So that you need those two to continue this weekend for sure. It's going to be a real challenge inside for these guys. It's not about the movement. It's about do you have enough rocks in your pocket to keep them from knocking you back?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem you're going to deal with this weekend.
Yeah, we've been talking about December for quite a while and how tough it's going to be, the challenge and everything that's to come. So this is definitely the perfect time for the line to start gelling and us seeing some of the improvement there, as well as the running game. Like, the run game has improved. We've seen it get better the last 2 weeks. So it's trending upwards. Tony Pollard, the way that he's playing as well. And that's credit to what's happening with the O-line and everything that they're doing. So, yeah.
Next question from Timothy Peters. His question is, will the
Cowboys...
people
actually have names?
Yeah.
This is cool.
No, they're all
in. No, I appreciate that. I really do.
Question is, will Cowboys put a spy on Hurts? Also, will Cowboys give Terrence Steele help with a chip block from tight end down the stretch when Steele is getting tired?
I think those are two things you have to always think about. I always hate the spy thing. It never works out. I saw somebody the other day. I think your Georgia Bulldogs did this. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really good plan. I think
we would play two.
Had
whichever
him on
way he goes.
That's right.
And the one time we didn't, split the Red Sea.
Yeah.
The one time we did.
Milrow. He's bringing up old stuff.
You know, what? Usually you hate that because the spy gets lost in the trash.
Right, yeah.
And all of a sudden the spy runs the hump, and then now it's a 7-8 yard run already, and you're not, you know, if you're a spy, you got to go attack the guy. You can't wait around. I think Georgia and Kirby Smart and that staff did a really good job of understanding that. If the guy's going to go right or left, now maybe you set it off the way you set your rush. You know, maybe you say, okay, we're going to rush where we're going to force him to gun to our left, mm-hmm. and you set the guy right there.
Yep.
Micah Parsons or somebody right there off that side. But, man, I just can't tell you how many times the spy has ended up not getting the job done.
Yeah.
I always worry about that. And, yes, I think during the game you have to find ways to try and help steal. You just don't let Hassan Reddick or Graham or Sweat or anybody that's rushing out there feel comfortable that it's going to be a one-on-one game the whole time.
Yeah.
Chip at him, cut at him, hit him in the legs, whatever you have to do to try and slow up those edges.
I think when you're talking about Jalen Hurts, you do have to consider it. But for me, understanding that Jalen Hurts does not want to run and me tasking my front four with the job of keeping him in the pocket, maintaining the contain, and then trying to disrupt him from there, I personally would not go with a spy because that takes someone out of coverage. That takes someone out of, you know, covering laterally because he's just focused on this particular guy who doesn't want to run. So if it was more so a run first kind of guy, e.g. Jalen Hurts, when he's healthy, then that's more of a consideration. But for a guy who's dealing with a knee injury, and maybe he is feeling a little bit better, but he's not 100%. So that's not going to be his first or even his second thought. I wouldn't put a spy on that. I would just look at the front four and say, go win. And then I would look at the back seven and say, here are your assignments, and go from there.
If you're going to do it, Bell's the best open field tackler you got,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. And he's got the speed to run
and
with
And he's
him.
Got the speed. Yeah, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Question.
Amber Garcia.
Amber Garcia sends this question. Well, I'm just here thinking, as you were talking, Patrick, I'm thinking, am I okay? Obviously, I get it. In situations where you have to run and you see the opportunity, yeah, as a quarterback,
right,
you just do it.
Right.
Like, that's natural, what it is. You, yeah, you got to play. Right. This is what it is. But looking at December, where they're at, I mean, are you trying to avoid possibly, like, at all costs, like, limit the amount of times that you, as the quarterback, runs?
They have to worry about him getting hurt. Their season falls apart. You know, last year they played Gardner Minshew for, what, two games? One of the games, the second Cowboys game, I believe he started, and they went 0-2 in games this guy didn't play. They realize without him, and most teams, you know, most teams without their starting quarterback are not going to fare very well. I think they're very mindful of how banged up this guy can get running the football.
So you're not on the Marcus Mariota train? As some
But you know, the interesting part about that is it doesn't mean he can't
run. Well, I do
run.
Understand. I do understand what Carr said, because he's saying play him until
he's healthy,
until you got healthy.
Yeah, right. Give him a chance to get healthy.
That part of it I do respect.
Yeah, I will say this. I don't think it means he can't run. I think it means that they're probably preaching to him, when you run, know when the ride's over and get down. Yeah. Like, don't take
the
hits.
That
don't take
too.
The unnecessary hits. So he's actually pretty good at it. Like, you don't see him taking a lot of big hits.
He leaks, he gets the sidelines, and then he goes out of bounds.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He knows how to do it quite well. So I don't
Covers
know that
some ground.
I don't know that he's not that stops him from running. I just think it's more being smart. I mean, we've seen that's been the conversation that they've had around here with Dak after his injury was, we don't necessarily want to take it out of him, but we do need him to be smart.
They did.
You heard Jerry say that a lot.
They
did take it out of him.
They took it
but
out
Jerry
of him.
Said, well, I remember Jerry saying on the Fan several times, we're not necessarily telling him to stop. We need him to be smart. We need to make sure that he's not. And I don't know if that translated to him as, I just need to stop, and now he's getting that back. But you don't see Dak taking a lot of big blows right now either. And I think there are moments in games when you will expose yourself for the risk versus the reward.
Right.
But the vast majority of the time, a smart NFL quarterback knows – has to know when it's time to get
out. I think last year's version of Jalen Hurts, you'd be more apt to put a spy on that guy. This year's version, as we have this conversation, I'm not there with that. Mm. I'm looking at my front four and saying, you know, you've proven that you can, all four of you and the wave behind you, you've proven that you can go out there and win the game. So go do it.
All right. Time for picks. What do we have?
30-27 Dallas. I think it's going to be a Seattle game all over again. I think it's going to come down
just
to
back and forth.
I think it's going to be both teams are going to be fighting to try and stop the other one. There's going to be huge plays in this game, and hopefully this Cowboy crowd has done a great job. 14 straight wins, I believe, now at home. Mm-hmm. They're really getting into it. This is a hated rivalry. You need this game desperately. You find a way to get it done at the end. Dallas 30. Philadelphia 27.
I think this is going to be a close game all the way down to maybe the last 5-6 minutes of the fourth quarter. And I think ultimately the Cowboys defense gets a critical stop, and Dak Prescott and the offense, they go down. And it's a one-score game all the way to this point, but then this is the nail in the coffin. So 35-24, but it's a one-score game until the Cowboys put a nail in the coffin.
Okay. I think it'll be a close one all the way to the end, 35-32. Cowboys. He'll be one of those games. Same.
Yeah.
Same thought with like how he went with Seattle. Just a lot of back and forth and the offense being the protagonist of the story. Both offenses scoring points.
I think this secondary of the Eagles is worse than the secondary of the Seattle Seahawks. I think Dallas is in the 40 range again this week, but I think it's a close game. Obviously, I don't think that the Cowboys necessarily have shown me that they're going to be able to stop this Philadelphia offense either. So I think it's going to be back and forth game. I think it comes down to Brandon Arbery and his leg, and that's what gets the win for the Cowboys, 41-38, in a very very entertaining but very
it's going to be a stressful. It's going to be a very stressful game.
Yeah. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back on Monday. We'll tell you what went right and wrong for the Cowboys. Till then, for Patrick Walker and Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?